This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac D.V. Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. Bizarre pictures grow in the mind of Ron Liberty. Faceless sheiks, cowboys who have mule snouts where their noses should be, the man in the moon with a Schlitz can growing out of one eye. If you spend any time knocking around music clubs in Carrboro and Chapel Hill, you've seen your fair share of Liberty's artwork. They're screen-printed posters with scratchy textures and muted psychedelic colors, and they're emblems of the local music scene. Liberty moved to Chapel Hill in 1991 when the world sounded a lot like this. That's Ron Liberty with his band Pipe doing the song Getting Good at Sleeping. Pipe saw its heyday in the 90s. Since then, Liberty has continued to shape the local art and music scene. Art lovers worldwide collect Liberty's work, and his posters are installed in the Southern Folklife Collection at UNC's Wilson Library. On Friday, the Ackland Museum Store presents a retrospective of Liberty's work, and he's here with us now to tell us about it. Ron, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a retrospective of your 20 years working in the music and art scene in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. What was the place like when you first got here in 1991?
It was a lot like it is now. nice and mellow and very supportive. The bands and radio stations and whatnot, labels to put out your stuff. It was nice. It was a little slice of heaven.
Well, why did you decide to come to Chapel Hill when you did?
Well, a year earlier, I came to visit my friend Mike Kenlin, and my friends went to Graceland on the way home. A friend that I used to work with up north in a used bookstore had moved here, and he was playing in a band called Cupcake UK. Yeah, he was living in a nice little house right there on Carr Street with a wraparound porch, and it was one of those spring days, and I kind of just fell in love with the place. I saw the bands that were coming through, and it just seemed like in the back of my mind, I knew that I wanted to come back. And then when I graduated college a year later, I did. It just seemed like there was enough space and time to do what I wanted to do here with my degree in fine arts and minor in film.
And were you already doing the kind of artwork and poster making and that sort of thing when you first came here?
Yeah, I was in a band in college and I was doing art, so I did posters for that band Love Onion in college. So yeah, I was doing it, but not nearly as much as I did when I came here because of just the amount of shows and good bands and things that were going on here.
You know, in 1991, people were saying Chapel Hill was the next Seattle. Did that ever come through for you?
No, I think that we all sort of made fun of that a little bit. I just don't think anyone really wanted anything to do with that, really. We were just doing our own thing and, you know.
You wanted it to be the next Chapel Hill,
yeah,
and
sure.
Not the next Seattle,
exactly.
Right. You studied in Europe, actually, before moving to the area. I mean, what were you doing there? Who were your influences?
I was doing printmaking in Brighton, England, because when I was in college, I did painting and film and stuff, so I didn't really do a lot of printmaking in New Jersey where I was going to college, and I decided to do that over there. And my influences, a big influence was the Dadaist, you know, like I do a lot of collage and cut and paste stuff. So I really love them. I love Ray Johnson. Saul Bass, I don't know if you're familiar with Saul Bass. Mm. He did the title sequences for The Man with the Golden Arm and Vertigo and stuff. He did the posters and title sequences for that. So.
Well, let's talk a bit about the posters that you've created. And you've had the chance to create posters for a lot of artists that you respect. I mean, among them is Superchunk, and let's just hear a bit of that. So tell us about how that sound translates into a visual for you.
Superchunk. I saw Superchunk in New Jersey before I moved here, and Pipe's drummer was Superchunk's original drummer, so there's a little tie in there. And that sound, that pop punk, whatever you want to call it sound, it's stuff that I cut my teeth on, like the Buzzcocks and punk rock like that. So that sound, it's like a real immediate type of thing, and it's like, you know, like classic punk rock,
mm-hmm.
cut and paste, photocopied, you know.
Well, and so can you describe one or two of the posters that you made for Superchunk? I mean, I know there's one, for instance, with a surfer
right.
on it.
They had a song on their album when I did that poster, their latest album called Learn to Surf. So I take my cues from lyrics or from, you know, just the general vibe of the band. And so I put a surfer on that one. Yeah, you know.
Well, and
I was kind of right to that song, Learn to Surf, which was my favorite cut off of that album.
So it's your favorite cut. And then, of course, there are some bands where I know that you got to know them either through their music or even personally, and got to know about the things that that they personally liked. I mean, you were talking at one point about a band from, I believe, from Baltimore, where mm-hmm. you knew that they liked basketball and you knew that they liked their van, and there you've got your poster.
Yes, and also Edith Massey, who is a Baltimore legend from the Egg Lady from Pink Flamingos and all those John Waters movies. So, yes, every poster has a story, a little backstory.
So one of the posters included in the Ackland show is called "It's Pipe Versus the Road." Pipe, of course, your band, and it features a couple of boxers going
That's
at
right.
it. What fueled that image?
Well, the road has won many times versus Pipe, so, prior to that poster being made. So it was almost like one more chance for us to, you know, to duke it out with the road. We won that one. We all made it home safe and sound.
And this image of the boxers, it's clearly an older image of some kind of the boxers, and it gets into that what you were talking about, the collage. Where do you go for your collage images like this?
They kind of come to me, you know, wherever. I keep my eyes open all the time. Old photo books or newspapers, magazines, wherever. Sometimes I take photos myself if I'm looking for a specific image.
Well, no retrospective of your work would be complete without a mention of Southern culture on the skids. So let's hear a little bit of that. So, Ron Liberti, when you hear this, it turns into an old pickup truck with a 25-foot go-go dancer in the background. Tell us about that poster.
That's true. When I think of Southern culture, that's what I think of. I imagine that man is driving around someplace in Chatham County.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, too, on that one, there's the Southern culture is in this kind of red, so that's sort of red clay. And I imagine he got caught in a ditch.
Because, I mean, if you have a 25-foot go-go dancer in the back of your truck, you're going to sink into the clay, I suppose.
Yes, you were going to drive into a ditch and get out. And their sound is, to me, sounds like a 25-foot go-go dancer in the back of a pickup truck.
What a great connection. So you do a
I imagine lot. He was it's swilling some moonshine too all afternoon, so who knows if she's really there.
So now you do a lot with a loud sound, but it's wonderful how you make the visuals become quieter to suit an artist like Regina Hexagon, for example.
Hexaphone, excuse me. It's okay.
Let's hear a little bit of that.
Your mother roams the yonder.
So for this, you've used this very simple design with a guitar neck and just really playing around with the topography a little bit. Is this genre more challenging for you than designing for musical artists who sound more like your like Pipe, for instance?
First of all, I love that song. Sarah Bell is one of my good friends and a lifer, and she's fantastic. And I wouldn't say it's more challenging. I just... I personally like many different types of music, so it's a nice challenge because I would go crazy if I just did the same poster. I mean, I've done thousands of them now, so I like switching up for my own sanity, and also my most successful posters look like the band sounds, so they sound like that. To me, you know, and my influences are large too. Like, I love the old hat show print feel and stuff like that, so I try to, you know, that's more of a, I did that by cutting out paper and kind of do it more like a block cut style and screen printing, but sort of like a little stencil style. So I think it's important for me, since I do so many of them, to switch it up, keep it fresh.
We've only got a minute left, but what was the most surprising collaboration for you as a visual artist, you think?
With
a band.
The most surprising? Oh, I'm not sure. That's a toughie.
I mean, you with a tough question right at the end.
I don't really know. I guess my collaborations are one-sided because I just do the posters and I give them to the band. So I don't know. That's a tough way to go out.
Well, well, you can go. It's best, of course.
Okay, I've got it.
Oh, okay.
When I gave The Archers of Loaf one of my first screen printed posters, and Mark said thanks. And I mean, Eric Johnson flipped it over and ripped it up to use it as the set list. And I was like, wow, that was surprising.
Well, it's best, of course, to see the posters in person. And the Acklin Museum Store in Chapel Hill opens the show 20 Years in Print, The
Yes.
Art of Ron Liberty, with a reception at 7 this Friday night. Billy Sugarfix will perform, and attendance is by reservation. You can call 962-0216 to reserve. Ron Liberty, thanks very much
for being
on the State of
Things. Enter through the gift shop. Thank you.
Just ahead, the music and fiction of Josh Ritter. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.